Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gateway Distriparks Limited Q2 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today on the call, we have Mr. Prem Kishan Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director, Gateway Distriparks Limited, Chairman and Managing Director, Gateway Rail Freight Limited, Chairman, Snowman Logistics Limited. Mr. Ishaan Gupta, Joint Managing Director, Gateway Distriparks Limited, Director, Gateway Rail Freight Limited, Director, Snowman Logistics Limited. Mr. Samvid Gupta, Joint Managing Director, Gateway Rail Freight Limited, Director, Gateway Distriparks Limited, Director, Snowman Logistics Limited. Mr. Sachin Bhanushali, Director and CEO, Gateway Rail Freight Limited. Mr. Sandeep Shaw, CFO, Gateway Distriparks Limited, CFO, Gateway Rail Freight Limited. Mr. Sunil Nair, Director and CEO, Snowman Logistics Limited, and Mr. A.M. Sundar, CFO, Snowman Logistics Limited. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prem Kishan Gupta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to all the participants to the post-results earnings call of Gateway Group. We have uploaded our results, press release, and presentation on stock exchanges, as well as company website. I hope you had an opportunity to go through the same. We have come out with very strong numbers continuously in Q2 when compared to Q1 and even Q4 of last year. Our rail business is doing well, or outperforming, and with the hub and spoke at Gadarsuru and Viramgam, we are able to have some cost efficiencies. And currently, we are the best-performing company in the industry. We had initiated corporate structure reorganization during the fiscal year, during the last fiscal year, which will help us bring further operating synergies and efficiencies for the group. The shareholders have voted in favor of the scheme of amalgamation, and things are on track. We have filed the second motion petition with the NCLT for the purpose of seeking sanction of the scheme and realistically expect to get the final order by calendar year end. With restructuring, there will be a lot of synergies on the operational side. In Q2 FY22, Snowman Logistics has continued to witness robust demand from two segments: pharmaceutical and e-commerce. From the level of 106,000 pallets, we are now having over 113,000 pallets. And over the next 3 years, we plan to expand our pallet size to about 2 lakhs. As far as e-commerce fulfillment centers are concerned, we have about 110,000 sq ft of dedicated space for Amazon. We have three dedicated warehouses for Amazon, and we are in the process of making a larger warehouse for them in Mumbai and a second one in Pune. We plan to add around 2 to 3 new e-commerce facilities every year. A lot of pharma clients have also asked us for dedicated pharma facilities. With this, I'll now hand the floor for questions and answers session. Feel free to ask anything, and the entire management is there to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We request the participants to limit their questions to 2 per participant at a time. Should you have more questions, we request you to come back in the question queue for more questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the rail business, to Sachin sir. So on the volumes, we have crossed 80,000 units, kind of a TU kind of a mark. In the fourth quarter, when we hit about, say, 76,000-77,000, we got a sense that we are probably kind of at a very high level of fill factors and utilization. So just wanted to get a sense of what has driven this volume growth further. Have you added any rakes, and how do you see the outlook for this?
Yeah, Mukesh, thanks for that observation. You're right that we have been able to ramp up our volumetric performance quite a bit as compared to not only the comparable quarter last year on a YOY basis, but also on sequential basis. Now, I will again bring back our discussion to what happened a couple of quarters ago when we were discussing whether we need to add capacity to our train sets. So the fleet continues to be the same size, 21 plus 10, 31 train sets. And the utilization has improved on account of most of the running being on dedicated freight corridor. And because of that, our ability to carry more containers per train in a month has helped us achieve higher volume. In spite of having reached this volume, we still have some spare capacity which is available, because at present we are not doing full double stack in either direction. So the answer is that no, we have not added any additional capacity in terms of train sets, but utilization has improved and there is still a good amount of margin which is available for improving it further. We should be able to do roughly 15% more business as compared to this to reach a saturation level wherein we may have to think of adding capacity. We are mindful of that and keeping an eye on that. Thank you.
Right, right. And has this also resulted in some market share increase, or is this a general industry growth? I mean, you usually give us the basic market shares across these NCR and the other regions.
Yeah, it has resulted into increase in our market share. So if we look at the entire NCR market, wider NCR market, it has grown roughly by about 18% YOY for the quarter. Whereas we have been able to increase our volumetric share for the quarter in NCR by 55%. The reason for this essentially is that not only have we been able to come out with new products, but there is a new scheme of assured transit which has been started by Indian Railways. And we had already started delivering on this as far as better transit times are concerned. And that is why both the shipping lines as well as the importer-exporter community is depending more on rail. And within that, since we have the best times in NCR, we are a rail operator of choice, intermodal operator of choice. We have been able to ramp up our volumes on account of that.
Nice. And just my last question on this is on the pricing front. We've seen Concord take some hikes earlier on, and again now they've announced another hike from October 1st. So how has been, I mean, have we also taken some price hikes, or I think last time you had mentioned that we have not taken as much price hike as them, and so some volume benefit we can get. How is that thought process there on pricing?
On a competitive landscape, we have taken a price increase in Ludhiana market before others, and in NCR market also we have rolled out our price increase, which becomes effective during the month. This is a marginal price hike.
Okay.
It takes care of a little bit of increase in our cost of operations on account of inflation, et cetera. We've gone ahead with the price increase in NCR market as well. It's of the same size as that.
Yes, 9,200.
So it is 1,000 rupees per TEU, 2,000 rupees for a 40-foot container.
For a 40-foot, right. So the basic question is, this 9,200 rupees of EBITDA per container, we can look to maintain that at least.
That's right. We aim to maintain it above 9,000 and. Going forward with higher utilization on dedicated freight corridor, we may be able to do higher volume per train, and we will try to improve it further.
Right. Great. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lavina from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sachin, just a question for you on this volume front only. Concord reported their volumes for the quarter. I know you can't comment on Concord's volumes, but they had seen an exim growth of single digits, which was quite a surprise. So just to understand from you that is most of this, this volume growth you've seen, is majority of it the market share gain? I know you spoke about DFC and they start trial runs, but I just want to understand that a little more, please. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Lavina, thanks for your question. The growth is primarily on account of growth in Gurgaon market, where we are dominant. So that's the organic growth which is taking place here. And apart from that, we have been able to make significant addition to our portfolio by acquiring additional volume of existing customers as well as new customers. With more reliable service, what happens is that the need to distribute your volumes to multiple operators in order to de-risk your logistics requirement more or less goes away. And since we currently have the best delivery times both in export direction as well as in import direction, the dependence of our customers on our services is increasing. So there's a customer concentration as far as we are concerned, that has got reduced by addition of new customers in our portfolio.
And with this volume growth, with the DFC now, what I at least understand is from 8th October, you had trial runs, now full commissioning will happen from Palanpur to Rewari. Are there any issues that are being faced, or you think that more volume growth should come up in the coming quarters as road traffic shifts to rail?
So the significant shift of road to rail will start when it gets consistently operated on the Palanpur to Rewari section through and through, which should not be very far from now. And we expect that the current quarter should see regular operation on dedicated freight corridor for this particular route. And Pipava Rail Corporation also has been able to electrify their territory starting from Viramgam, Surendranagar to Pipava. So electric trains now can actually run from Gadi Asaru to Pipava with double stack. And this will be the first time that such a long distance double stack train would run. So this is something which is going to drive modal shift from road to rail. And apart from that, I think the international trade in general is showing robust growth. The merchandise export, as you are aware, has gone up for the first half. Almost we have touched 200 billion dollar mark, and going forward this further is likely to intensify. So the volume growth is expected to continue on a similar line.
Okay, and therefore some amount of leverage can be seen for y'all as well, right? Or y'all will pass most of the benefit on to your consumers? To look at an EBITDA per TU perspective directionally more than absolute?
I think it should be possible for us to concentrate our margins, improve our margins going forward on account of this phenomena. But it also depends on weight mix as well as import-export imbalance. So it will be very difficult to pinpoint in which direction we will go, but I think there should be a good improvement in margin numbers as well.
And Sachin, lastly, any impact on working capital because of all of this? Working capital shouldn't deteriorate, right? What I just want to understand is that means this will reflect in your cash flow from operations, volume growth, margins, leverage.
There will definitely be an additional requirement of working capital because you are aware of the phenomena that we pay all our most of our expenses, which is rail haulage charges to Indian Railways on an upfront basis, whereas our customers enjoy credit from anywhere between 15 days to 30 days. So there will be a marginal increase in working capital, but that is not going to result into the entire cash flow arising on account of operating margin being sucked into working capital requirements. So we will have additional cash flow available on hand, operating cash flow on hand.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Lavina.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Preet from Wealth Finvisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. A couple of my questions have been answered, but one last thing I want to understand is that what kind of growth are you seeing in terms of, you know, just the overall economy? Do you anticipate a significant larger share of transfer of market share from road to rail once the DFCs are properly commissioned?
Okay, the answer to the second question is yes, we are expecting a larger share in the modal shift which will take place because of our locational advantage as well as our operating method. As far as the first is concerned, I think my guess is as good as your guess as far as the growth in the economy or growth in Exim business, international business is concerned. But I think it is going to be very robust.
So the current issue with Exim in terms of containers that's plaguing some of the flow. So has that impacted you guys in some form and shape?
So if we need to go a little deeper into it, the shortage of containers for the purpose of exports is actually shortage of container for export, increase in exports. So it is, if you look at the actual number of exports in containerized form which take place out of CFS and ICD, the actual number has not dropped on account of non-availability of containers, and the availability of containers over a period of time has improved indeed. So I think over a period of time it will ease out and it will not continue to be a bigger constraint in the overall scheme of things.
Yeah, just to add, you know, post-COVID, the demand has increased both from the exporter side of it and imports. So it's an imbalance, but I mean at the same time, containers are available. The freight rates are higher. So that is, it is not that anyone who wants to export or the imports are hampered because of that. The only thing is that the freight rates have increased, the ocean freight rates have increased to a level where, I mean, again, it comes to viability of the, you know, product being exported or imported.
Understood. Thank you.
Thanks, Preet.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Makharia from HDFC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Congrats on a, you know, strong volume number. I just wanted a sense on what are our lead distances currently, and you know, with the DFC now getting operational, how will the lead distances change post that?
Aditya, lead distances don't change for us because we operate between ICD and the port. So it's almost like a fixed distance that we operate on. We are generally upwards of 1100 kilometers as far as our leads are concerned. As the component of our Ahmedabad terminal increases, it will result into some amount of dilution of our leads. And as well as per TU performance if the average is taken for all the businesses put together. But we'll provide you with additional information when it comes to that.
Got it. And second thing, you know, you mentioned there'll be a shift from road to rail, but there is some roll-on, roll-off service also which the DFC is doing where the trucks are going, the containerized trucks are moving on the rail network. So how do those dynamics really work?
Aditya, these are not containerized trucks. These are essentially high-density transportation in three-axle trailers, which is taking place particularly between Gujarat and North India, involving mainly transportation of salt, soda ash, and other bulk commodities. So it's domestic business, but over a period of time, this is a temporary arrangement. At present, since the dedicated freight corridor does not have its terminals, it is basically trying to provide a road bridge of what they call TOT, trucks on train. The volume of actual activity which is taking place on truck on train model is very, very small. It is insignificant from the point of view of business that we do, and very, very insignificant from the point of view of the volume which is being done by Indian Railways. So it's more like trying to attract attention as well as provide some service while the dedicated freight corridor becomes fully operational.
Got it. And
just to add to that point a little bit, it's not directly comparable, you know, when you say trucks which are doing RO, roll-on, roll-off, versus export and import containers which are coming to the inland, because the product is completely different. Out here, it's the shipping line which is bringing their container up to the inland, and the customer is clearing it in the north. And in this roll-on, roll-off, it's, like Sachin is saying, mainly domestic, but even if it's not domestic, it's domestic sized at the port. So not all cargo travels, not everyone wants to convert from container to bulk when the ocean journey has been on container. So it only makes sense of break of cargo which is already in bulk to be further transported by road.
Okay, got it. And just a last question, has the track now been electrified or they're still running on diesel locos?
If our route has been electrified, but the length of dedicated freight corridor between Madar Junction, that is Ajmer, up to Palanpur, is yet to be commissioned on electric traction. So currently, at present, about 95% of the operations are diesel operations under wire.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thanks, Aditya.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonali Yadav, Investors Consulting. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon all. Sir, congratulations on the results. So my question is not, related to the latest financials, but I was going through the annual financials and I noticed one thing that from financial year 2020, I'm so sorry, this is related to Snowman Logistics. So from financial year 2020, around 140 crores has been added as a lease for land lease for building warehouses. Now, I wanted to understand that, can you just throw some light on why land lease has been taken, how it fits in the business model, and what are the future plans for payment?
Sundar, can you take that, please?
Yeah, sure. Sundar here. Land lease which has been shown is a result of the new Ind AS regulations which have come. We have warehouses. Warehouses have been built on land which have been taken on long term lease, around 20 year period. And because of the introduction of Ind AS, we have to show the lease value as an asset and then depreciate it over the lease period.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Tiwari from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Sir, you commented that now electrified trains can run between Garhi and Pipavav. What about Garhi and Mundra? Is it possible as of now or is there some bottleneck?
Atul, I think there is not much clarity as far as electric traction on dedicated freight corridor is concerned as of now. But it will take some time for electric traction on the dedicated freight corridor portion is concerned. The old track of Indian Railways in any case is a diesel track. So currently it will continue to operate on diesel through and through.
Okay. Here, if I can just add one point and take this chance, because this is going to be a common question, similar question which multiple people have. Earlier, it was important for us to track, which parts of the tracks are diesel route and electric route, and it still is. But having said that, none of that really matters that much anymore because the train running has improved so much. And like Sachin was mentioning, in the NCR market, transit times are the fastest out of all the ICDs, including any of our competition. So with those times that we have and where we see consistency, and that's the transit time which we see going forward, so it doesn't really matter to us whether the railway uses diesel or electric routes.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thanks, Dhaval.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Sarda from Daiwa Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is with respect to Snowman Logistics. If you could throw some light on the Siliguri and the Mumbai port facilities which were yet to be started, and whether they have started in this quarter and revenue has been recognized on the same.
Yeah, Sunil, please take that.
Yeah, hi. So Siliguri is functional now, and it got functional by the end of September. And in case of Mumbai e-commerce facility, it is also functional from 10th of October, and this is also fully operational now. We have migrated from a smaller facility to a bigger facility for Amazon, and both are functional. In case of Coimbatore, we are expecting it to be ready by the end of November.
Okay. Thank you. I just have one question.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congrats for great results. My first question is on volumes of rail. So on a quarterly basis, now we have moved to 80. Do you think we can comfortably cross quarterly basis 100,000 volume in FY24?
Okay, so it will be very difficult to talk about FY24, which is still away. There is an FY23 in between. So our aim would be to cross it in FY23 itself.
Yeah. But Prateek, if I can just, build on some of our earlier conversation. Right now, you've seen that our EBITDA margin is growing. And our intent is to, we have an internal target that we want to hit 10,000 EBITDA per TU based on whatever happens with the DFC. So our volumes will be driven by that. We would rather keep profitability and margins intact or keep growing them slightly rather than build. Even today, if we want, we can reach 100,000 per quarter, but then we'll be reducing our margin quite a lot. So if you say on a conservative basis, keeping our existing margins, we still assume that our volumes are going to grow, but by how much, it's difficult to say from this point what FY24 will be.
And Prateek, we have tried to ramp up the volumes by getting some bad business, and it is a bit minus business, so we have given up. And these users or customers, they go for the lowest price in the market. So by getting them, for one quarter, two quarter, we don't expect that they will be giving us the business for the following period. So we don't want to enter into such kind of competition where, we lose money without gaining their patronage for a long time. So we look case by case. Our existing customers, their volumes are growing, and at the same time, there are new customers coming in who are willing to pay for our services, and price. We are not charging two times or three times the price, so many people value that. So that is a call that we have taken, that we will not do bad business for the sake of increasing the volumes or revenue.
That 100,000 was just to gauge growth expectation. So probably we'll be growing around 25% year on year this year. And 13 to 15% CAGR over next 2 years will take us to, that 400,000 plus number for 24.
No,
that's
no,
13 to 15%. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is that we don't want to get bad business to increase our volumes, but slowly and gradually, I mean, people who came to us and left us and then again have come back and then again left us, slowly and gradually we are getting those businesses because of our services, both in terms of the connectivity to the port, the faster transit times, and all the services that we provide to them online, connectivity to our systems and to our ERP, where, I mean, they can see on time that where their container lies, or even the movement, you know, and when it arrives at the port, especially for exporters, but at the same time, importers are also equally important to keep the balance. And people value these things, and our volumes are which have gone up. It is not only because of the EXIM volume grown up, but at the same time we have gained in the market share. We were little below 12% a couple of quarters back, and now we are almost touching 14%. That is a combination of market share and the volumes that have grown up.
Sure. And sir, regarding realization, this quarter looks slightly lower Q-on-Q and year-on-year. Is it because of some mix change?
Realization as in? Can you specifically point to the number that you're looking at?
In the presentation also, we have 30,618
per TU realization that you're talking about. It is normally an effect of 20-40 split, import-export split, as well as weight mix split. So it's not necessary that it will follow a path of either remaining at the same level or growing. The EBITDA as a percentage of EBITDA per TU as a percentage of revenue per TU is the guiding factor there actually. So if you compare that, we are not doing badly on both YOY as well as QOQ.
Right. Okay. And one question on there was post this electrification of the power route. They have also started some container rail operations themselves, PRCL. Is this something significant, or we should look about it? Or
so among the original 14 container train operators, Pipavav Rail Corporation was one of the operators, and they had a segmental operation license for Mundra Port, Pipavav Port, and Kandla Port. It's after almost 14 years that they have started their operations, basically because their Pipavav Rail Corporation business by itself is showing good results. You should not mistake them as Pipavav Port. Pipavav Port is a different entity. Pipavav Rail Corporation is a different entity. It is a joint venture between Indian Railways and APM Terminals for the purpose of developing rail line between Surendranagar to Pipavav Port. So that's where this business is being done. It's going to be a small business. I think they have started only operating one train as of now to Jodhpur.
Okay, and just one last question on CFS, the business. So their margin pressure seems pertinent again like the pre-COVID times. So this 2500 to 2700 per TU expectation seems dead now, or are we looking to get back to that number?
So it'll take some time, but basically we haven't been able to pass on the fuel costs yet, the increase in diesel. And there's been some increase in labor costs happening in Navasheva, which we're looking to address in a different way. And we've been focusing a bit more on volumes. So if you look at our volume growth, we are higher than last year's. So that might lead to a lower per TU, but we're looking at the EBITDA margin. And then also Punjab Conveyor is having its tender now. We have the contract till end January, so keeping that in mind also, we have to see how to retain our customers best. So it's a function of all of these things together, but we are still hoping to get back to that 2700-2800 figure.
Sure, thanks, and then back to the team.
Thank you, participants. you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead. Aditya, may I request you to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with your question. Line for the participant dropped. We move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Vikram Vilas Suryavanshi from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir, and congratulations for the good numbers. One question regarding the rail business. Now we are seeing good volume traction, and I think DFCC.
You are not audible, Aditya. Can you please speak closer to your mic?
Just hold.
Is it audible now?
Yeah, Vikram, you're audible now. Better, much better.
Okay, sorry. So one question regarding now we are seeing good traction in volume for rail. So how is now a plan to maintain market share or grow from this level with this satellite terminal? So if you can highlight about the progress of this satellite terminal. And second on, we are also seeing good traction on domestic side of the business where not only Exim but rail domestic is also numbers looks quite impressive. So are there any such opportunities emerging at least on select routes or select kind of cargo service where we can also think of a domestic side of the business?
See, as far as our expansion into north-most satellite terminals will be there. We are working on it for the last more than a year or so. So we have some locations in mind and we are searching for the land parcels which can suit to the rail connectivity. So that will definitely come in and that will help us in the accumulation of containers at Gadiya's route for the export direction and for the import direction again through Viramgam and Gadiya's route, we can distribute that. But we will only be able to announce that once we have those land parcels ready or, you know, we are having firm plans in one particular location. What was your second question? And the domestic, we have not done much domestic in the past, and what you are talking about, the increment in the domestic movement, that is mostly freight bulk cargo of Indian Railways. So except for one or two players amongst the container train operators, no one is doing a domestic movement from point to point because it is unidirectional, you know, because the cargo is available in one direction and on the return journey it is not available. And at the same time, if you look at the main corridors, especially the north to west, it is well connected and it is faster route in, including the DFC commissioning. But otherwise, if you go on the other routes of Indian Railways, whether it is towards the south or, you know, mid of India to any location, the train turnaround times are so so long that it is not worth deploying the assets over there.
And just to add to that also, that on, so we don't do bulk movement, we only do container movement, and within containers the export and import which happens is on shipping line containers, it's not on domestic containers. So for domestic movements, not only is it a return journey of the train which is important, but then we have to deploy our containers which go empty from one place to another on the return leg. So to position those, to have a place in multiple geographies where we can park those containers, those are all additional costs. So while on a single trip basis, if you think it makes sense, as an overall business, domestic is does not make money in containers.
Understood. Yeah, that was helpful, sir. And in terms of turnaround time, we are obviously seeing that coming down. But if you can give us what was average turnaround time for Q2 in terms of hours, and how much we can come bring it down? Because I guess we run express freight train with almost 23 hours. So what is the current average turnaround time, and going forward, to how much scope is there to improve it?
So in export direction, we have been able to maintain a 27 hours average as compared to once upon a time, exactly 72 hours used to be our average time. In import direction, it is still slightly on the higher side. So we are roughly doing about 33 hours in the import direction. Going forward, once the entire dedicated freight corridor is fully operational, it should be possible to do both import as well as export services within 24 hours. And the overall circuit time should come down to a level of about 3 days for one round trip, 4 days for one round trip. So it should be possible for us to do roughly 7.5 round trips as compared to 6 round trips that we do currently.
And the location of our terminals in NCR is such that we will always maintain a lead over competition in transit time.
All right. And last question regarding Snowman. We have seen a strong growth in transportation side of our business, obviously because of very low base last year, and we are seeing a recovery. But if you can highlight what could be the mix between warehousing and transportation going ahead, and are we still seeing a lot of recovery is expected in transportation business to just bring to that level, or how we should look at that transportation growth and warehousing growth and mix between these two businesses?
Puneet?
Yeah. So see, basically the transportation has done better for two reasons. One, yes, last year the Q1 there was lockdown nationally, whereas this time the lockdown was not national, city based. But so that is one reason. But the major reason is that we have implemented a tech-based consolidation and aggregation of the small transporters and their capacities, and that has helped us accumulate close to 150 truck worth of capacities every month, and we are using these for our end-to-end customers and making these small transporters part of the larger end-to-end game. And this has helped us a lot, and we have seen that the growth against last year first half to this year first half has been close to 40%. Around 20% of this has come from this aggregation technology that we have implemented. As far as the ratio is concerned, as of now it is 65% warehousing and 35 to 40% transportation. We expect that while both the numbers will continue to grow with the addition of capacities, that transportation may grow larger, basically because of the tech that we have implemented.
Understood. And what kind of ROC from this business we are targeting, say, 2-3 years down the line? Because historically we have seen pressure on ROC, but now after seeing good recovery and revival, what would be the target ROC for the coaching business?
See, all new capacities that we are adding are somewhere around 17-18% ROC that we are expecting from the new additions. And it is very difficult to quantify what will be the mix of it, but I can just tell you that the new additions are at 18% ROC.
In fact, there are some expansion which we are planning, which we'll be announcing in due course, where the capital deployment will not be so much, because we will be either using a model where someone is building the facility for us and leasing to us, or we will be building dedicated warehouses for specific products, mainly in the pharmaceutical and e-commerce segments, but also some other, possibly some other segments, where the CapEx requirement is lower because the requirements are tailored for one specific product. So over time, we will see, we are targeting, you know, like Sunil is saying, the new projects are at around 18%. But some of, when you add in Snowlink and you add in these BTS and lease projects, we will be upwards of 21% or something like that.
Got it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhil Hazari from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to know, is there any revenue guidance that you could give us for the for your FY22 and going forward with the what would be the growth rate of the revenue?
See, we cannot make any forward-looking statements, but I can just say that the company is planning, new locations and terminals and everything. And the volumes will grow from here, from what we see in the last two quarters and even today when we are talking in October. It continues. The volumes are still coming, So once all the, COVID-related things are over, because so far it has been, some industries are closed, some are open, and they open at different times. But the business model appears that there will be a lot of exports from India. Imports are also on the rise. It balances, for us to have a balance of import and export is absolutely necessary. And we'll go by the growth of the exim volumes as well as gaining market share and from the new locations that we will have, Beyond this, I cannot predict, what will be our revenues or what will be our throughput.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, just a couple of questions. In terms of the interest cost for the quarter, while you have reduced the overall net debt, but interest cost has marginally inched up. So is there anything to read by or will it get normalized going forward? How should one look at it?
There is some utilization of the working capital that is there, and we have taken some new capex loan and all that. Or capex and tailor loan and all. That's why there is some marginal increase in that.
And warehouse.
And warehouse for the gateway rail business.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you see our overall debt, it has come down from Q1 470 to 440 net debt as of 30th September.
And as on date?
As on date, it is approximately 425 crore.
Oh, that's very helpful. And
so I think you're aware that we will be reducing our interest cost in due course, because NCDs which we have, which are very high cost, we have a coupon reset option with our NCD holders, which will be coming up by March. So we'll be negotiating with them, and our interest cost will go down further.
Yeah, next financial year, our interest cost will also go down. Our net debt will also go down because the next payment is by end of March, first week of April. So we still have those 55 crores ready, what we have to pay. So the net NCD will be 225 crores, where the existing NCD holders have shown interest in resetting the interest rate. So our interest outgo will also be less, considering both that the 55 crores repayment is there and the interest rate will be less.
Oh, okay. This is the major impact of the lower yield will be seen in FY23.
Sorry, we lost you for a second.
Can you repeat?
Hello. Am I audible now? Hello.
Yeah.
So major benefit of the lower interest cost or the yield will be seen in entire of FY23. That's the way to look at it, along with the lower.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is, in terms of now that the DFC has now got commissioned, if you can just help us with the, while Sachin sir did mention about that 33 and 27 hours, but from Gadi to Mundra or Pipavav port, just as a benchmark, what was the earlier transit time to now post the commissioning? What is the change in that? If you can just help with with respect to Gadi to Mundra or Pipavav or any of these four terminals?
So Gadi to Mundra on average was 72 hours. And that is on the most fastest one, which when this transit scheme was announced, was 22 and a half hours. And now we are averaging 27.
Okay. Okay. But beyond Palanpur, are there issues to Mundra in terms of, you know, double track? Is that a hindrance, and can it further come down when that issue gets resolved?
So the way it works is that the existing situation between Palanpur to Mundra Port continues to be what it was before. But because the single line section on which there used to be quite a bit of congestion as well as priority being given to passenger services, the transit time used to be highest up to Palanpur, because up to Palanpur, all passenger trains, all freight trains to Pipavav, all freight trains going to Nhavasheva, all freight trains going to Mundra Port would compete for path. So that decongestion has already taken place. Obviously, if there is, once the doubling between Palanpur to Mundra Port also takes place, it will help further, but it is not a great obstacle. The overall transit times will only improve once the double track on Palanpur to Gandhidham will be available. Gandhidham to Mundra Port in any case is double line already.
And the full electrification of the route will also help. Right now, I mean, say if some portion is on electrical route and then diesel, so the change of power, I mean, the locomotive takes some time. So, I mean, once it is, the lines are doubled between Palanpur and the ports and it is fully electrified, then it will be a non-stop journey for a freight train, except for the technical stops. So less than 24 hours is very much achievable in the coming time, you know, say one and a half years from now.
Sure. So just to call it out, major part of the relief has been done away with in terms of the Palanpur section. Incrementally, maybe residual 20-25% of the relief will come through whenever the double tracks up to Gandhidham gets done.
That's correct appreciation. About 75% relief is already available. We expect another 25% to come through.
And in addition, whenever the new rolling stock comes, you know, the wagons which are still under trials or oscillation trials, the, you know, 90 tons, 25 tons XL rolling stock, when it comes, and then I mean, the speed of the train will also be 100 kilometers per hour. So, I mean, these ports are 1200 kilometers, you know, 1250 kilometers. So, I mean, going forward, I mean, say in 12 or 18 months, we should be talking about less than 20 hours of transit time to on one way journey from north to the Mundra port, to the western port, and Nhavasheva will take some time, but even then we have the advantage of Viramgam, where we you know, we are still running, and I think we are one of the only we are the only ones which are running to services to Nhavasheva port through Viramgam, and again imports from Nhavasheva to north from via Viramgam, where we, you know, get the cargo from, get the containers from Mundra and Pipavav also. So we are able to do regular service to all the three ports because of this, you know, hub and spoke that we have between Gadi and Viramgam.
The other thing is, you know, if we look at your volumes for the quarter, for the rail volumes, and we compare it with the tonnage volumes what Indian Railways kind of gives out, you see there's a marked improvement. So is there just a market share gain from the other rail operators, or it is also the road to rail shift that you have witnessed in the current quarter?
Abhishek, the tonnage volume which is given, tonnage numbers which are given by railways are approximated numbers. So they just follow a principle of dividing the, multiplying the number of TU by tonnage. whereas import and export have a varying tonnage as far as our business is concerned. So, but to answer your question, yes, we have been able to claw in more market share, particularly in NCR, on account of both reliable service that now we are providing as well as our intensification of dedicated services for most of the shipping lines. We are the leaders as far as the number of dedicated services which are being operated by any private operator currently.
Okay. And sir, is this also taking market share from other ICDs or also it is it road also that you are seeing now? Or is it still to kind of get demonstrated because the DFCC now has got completely commissioned only in 8th October?
Both, I would say, from the increased volumes that we have in the EXIM business and at the same time, market share, which
okay.
I said earlier also.
Okay. And so just one last question from my side. We've also hearing price hikes being taken by the industry. Is it also something that you all are initiating in terms of the railway part of the business?
In answering one of the earlier questions, I had mentioned it. So we have taken a price increase both in our NCR market as well as in Ludhiana market.
And that is
magnitude, of a similar magnitude.
Okay, sorry, I joined in late, so sorry for that. But is
no
it more to course correct the import-export imbalance, or
it is both on account of marginal increase in our unit cost of production as well as on account of increasing other costs, particularly the fixed cost due to inflation. So the idea is basically to take care of additional costs rather than generate additional revenue out of it.
Okay. So this will help you maintain the unit EBITDA per TU and not really increase it. Is that the
That's
way to
right.
get it?
That's right, Abhishek. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Abhishek.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ohri from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions related to Snowman. In the remarks, in the opening remarks also you said setting up some operations in new locations. Can you help us that what are these places and what kind of pellet additions are you looking at?
Rohit, it's too early right now for us to say that until, you know, we make a formal announcement. But I can just share that what we are planning is a two-fold thing. One is that in some of our existing locations, the demand is very high. We are already running more than 100% utilization if you include, you know, the minimum guarantees and the extra spaces that we can utilize. So we want to expand there. And in some of our some locations are new locations where our existing customers are driving us because they have demand out there. So there's pharma also included in that. There's like we were saying earlier, e-commerce. But there's also our regular customers from the food segment. So we'll let you know the location shortly, but apart from our existing locations, they would be more like tier 2 cities where the demand growth is higher than in the metros right now.
Okay. And in terms of Coimbatore, how many pellets will you be adding?
Coimbatore is... so you need 4,200, right?
Yeah, 4,200 pallets will be added.
Which should be operational in this current quarter.
Okay. So there were some talks that we were looking for some QIP processes of around 250 odd crores or so, and then we intended to invest around 425 odd crores in a period of 3 to 4 years. So can you take us through, is it the right time that we should be talking about QIP process now?
So that 425 crore plan which we have still exists, where over the next 3 years or so, we want to take us to 200,000 pallets capacity plus whatever additional e-commerce dedicated warehouse which we do, which currently is at 100,000 square feet. And we see that we'll be adding maybe 2 or 3 locations every year. Out of that 425, the QIP was part of it. Internal accruals and debt was another part. Now, it so happened that in the current year, our cash flows improved substantially. And at the same time, you know, I like this project, Siliguri, we've started, Coimbatore is under construction.
and the next ones we are planning. So those we'll be doing first from our internal accruals and from some project loans which are available at very attractive rates right now. And then at the, as a later phase, we'll be resuming QIP.
Okay. In terms of the pellet additions in Haryana, I'm not mentioning the name, and another two places in Maharashtra, by when do you think that these pellet additions will come?
You mean our existing projects which we are doing?
No, the ones which will come up in future.
So the next ones which we are planning in our next phase, again, we'll be making that announcement in some time, but
okay.
Typically it takes, you know, 2 to 3 quarters for construction to take place, and currently we're in the phase of shortlisting the land.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, by when can we expect Palwar coming on stream?
Sorry, by when can we expect which one?
Palwar.
Palwar is not part of our plans.
Okay, it's not a part of the plan.
We already have a facility in Palwar.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We have our existing Vallabhgarh facility which is next to Palwar. And we also have a Gateway Rail ICD out there. But we don't have any plans for a new cold storage out there.
Okay. So currently we are around 120,000 pellets. So do you intend to close this year at what number of pellets?
Say another 20,000 pellets in the next calendar year, which will be expansion of our existing facilities, and there will be some new locations. So for existing facilities, we have some land and we have bought some land. So those projects will come in the next calendar year, and then whenever we are able to close on the land parcels, that will also be coming up in 23, but normally it takes 3 to 6 months for any location after construction to get the business. Like Siliguri, we have already started getting business, you know, it started its operations in the end of September, so in this quarter we expect that the volumes will be filled up quite rapidly. And similarly, the Coimbatore thing will be ready in November or latest in this quarter. So in first quarter, we'll capture the revenue of that location. So we'll be expanding our capacity at the existing locations, as well as we will be going to new locations. So if we are going to close this year financial year at 120,000, then next year we will be closing at something around 15% plus, which means another 20,000 pallets.
Okay.
In the calendar year of fiscal year 23.
Plus, like I said, we'll be targeting at least two more facilities of e-commerce dedicated fulfillment centers in this period. Mm-hmm. In terms of Snowlink, our capacity is around 3 lakh pellets. So how many are we handling currently, if you can share that?
Our capacity is not 3 lakh pellets. Our capacity is, okay. I mean, you're talking about warehousing or?
Because in transport, the IT enabled, yeah, the IT enabled system.
That's not measured in pallets. That's that. So we aggregate the fleet in the market of refrigerated truck owners, and we match it with our customers. But I'll let Sunil give you some numbers on what kind of scale it has.
Yeah, see, Snowlink is a tech platform where we aggregate the transportation capacities from the market, and then we offer it to our customers as a part of end-to-end offering. And here it is purely calculated on the basis of number of truck equivalent revenue that we generate from this platform. And this platform actually procures trucks on dedicated basis, which is on a monthly basis and as well as on a trip basis. So as of now, we are procuring trucks equivalent to around 100 trucks a month equivalent revenue through this platform. I hope that that answers your question.
Okay. So in your commentary, you mentioned that the cash flows have started improving. Sir, one very broad-based question, sir. By when do you think Snowman will be a dividend-paying company?
It's a question of, paying dividend to the shareholders or creating shareholders' value. Whatever the cash accruals are there, we are deploying it in, investing into new facilities. So whenever the board decides that, there is a room for paying dividends to the shareholders, we will definitely look at it.
So like a vision 3 years or 4 years or something, if you want to add some number?
It's very hypothetical to say that because you heard our expansion plans and there are some more which we'll be announcing. So we would rather put that money towards expanding rather than taking more debt. But at an appropriate time when the cash flows are healthy enough to do both things, then we would like that also because, as you can see, even Gateway, we are, 40% shareholders of Snowman. And until now, even Gateway has yet to recover money from our investment. But we would rather wait and grow value in the company and then take that call.
Okay. One final question, Sunil. Can you give the revenue breakup of QSR Pharma, Bakery, Fruit, Vegetables, Sea, Food, Dairy, others, and ready-to-eat if you have it handy?
Rohit, we don't publicly provide this breakup, but we can give you a general, Sunil can give you a general sense of which segments are performing, after COVID, a lot has changed. So, Sunil, can you please do that?
Yeah. So, Rohit, if we take the top categories, it is pharma, QSR, agri, food, seafood. These are the major contributors in the overall segments. All these four or five of these will contribute 60-65% of the revenue, and then rest is contributed by confectionery, butter, and dairy products, meat, poultry, ready to cook, fruits and vegetables. So this is the contribution.
Okay, Sunil. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that will be the last question for today. Participants I missed out can reach up to the management and the SGA for the pending questions. On behalf of Gateway Distriparks Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect. Thank you.